Next speaker is Garth Lovella from the Queen's University
Press. Dr. Garth Lovella.
Everybody's got the name.
Thanks. So I think to address the issue today, the impact of one of the peace processes being tested, I think we'll have to revisit the start of the Troubles. So recently I've been doing some research in the Lloyd's Park theory in 1970s, quite a niche subject. During my research, I came across an open letter in the Belfast Telegraph by the political commentator Barry White.
Sorry, can the people at the back hear okay?
So the letter that was written by Barry White was from May 1972, and it was written in response to a recent upsurge in partisan violence. So a bit like Tony, I'm going to quote from this article. Barry White said, "I don't suppose you give a damn, but I think I know why you did what you did in East Belfast last weekend. You're young, it is spring, there's nowhere to go, nothing better to do, so you go looking for trouble. I've done it myself. It's not the pleasantest place to live, East Belfast. The houses are small, overdue for demolition, and the only playing fields are the streets. Youth clubs are fine, but they're dull when there's some excitement to be had outside. It's the people who make the place. They're tough on the outside, but couldn't be kinder to their own sort. They're proud to come from the wee streets, and most of all, they're proud to be Protestant. Since those civil rights people started marching, you've seen your little world crumbling. First they got their way by marching and rioting, and then when the Protestants hit back by getting their houses burned down, they couldn't lose, and since the IRA took over, they've done even better. Nothing even slowed them down, certainly not internment. And by murdering, maiming and destroying, they've succeeded in toppling your Protestant parliament. It was enough to make any Protestant blood boil, and it isn't really surprising that you hit the top last weekend. Those two bombs in Castlereagh Street softened you up, and those pictures of the IRA in the Bogside, and the internees getting out with the last straw, even if you don't count the Vanguard rally in Templemore Avenue. So I think if you look back in that article and you substitute tartans in that letter for the phrase some flag protesters, or IRA for Sinn Féin, or indeed Vanguard for DUP, and you have a letter describing a situation which is still familiar to some working class Protestants 40 years on. Indeed, it is a situation that was played out on a few occasions in East Belfast during the weeks that followed the initial vote to limit the number of days on which the Union flag would fly over Belfast City Hall. So if things are so similar in that respect, perhaps it is worth revisiting that era briefly to try and figure out the possible roots of some of the problems that the Protestant working class in Belfast are currently enduring. Jim McCauley has rescinded the notion that the Protestant working class constituted a labour aristocracy, and have noted that by the mid-1950s, it had become clear that the traditional industrial base of shipbuilding, textiles and engineering could not guarantee a viable and prosperous economy. So in this environment, the lack of education could have proved fatal to the aspirations of the Protestant working class. For many, it was precisely this issue that made Protestant working class males prone to a social and economic disparity with their Catholic counterparts, who by the late 1960s had begun to see the progression of a first generation of adults who had benefited from the 1947 Education Act. The fact that the Troubles were on the horizon meant that any misery endured by the Protestant working class through the process of industrial decline would only be compounded by the problems which civil unrest brought. While deindustrialisation occurred in other parts of the UK after the 1960s, and the various shipyards across the UK suffered, these working class communities did not have the added pressure of political violence to contend with. The essence of understanding the Protestant working class and their sense of anxiety, I feel, is to understand them as part of a wider British working class community. An East-West perspective is needed. The early 1970s was certainly a shock to the system for both sides of the community in Northern Ireland, and Catholics suffered indiscriminately at the hands of roaming loyalist murder gangs, while both Catholics and Protestants had to endure the IRA's reckless bombing campaigns that destroyed the commercial vitality and viability of Belfast city centre. This combination of violence and deindustrialisation affected the Protestant working class in a unique manner, which is perhaps best understood by referring at least in part to Paul Lewis's influential 1978 work, which was entitled Learning to Labour. In Paul Lewis's study, he noted that the lads, which is a group terminology used by Willis to describe his working class research subjects, had formed an oppositional culture to education, feeling that they're predestined to an unskilled job in the industrial workplace. I don't think that the perceived indifference of the Protestant working class to education prior to the Troubles is a completely satisfactory reason for the current malaise. One need only look at Orangefield, Caroline, Grosvenor and Annandale to see good schools with a strong reputation, which were filled with Protestant working class children. The general consensus, however, is that the Protestant working class attitude to education was similar to the lads who Willis studied. This was true in the 1970s, I think, and due to the process of deindustrialisation, the jobs that would have been available to Willis's lads and Protestant working class males in Northern Ireland from the 1970s onwards became redundant. The sociologist Linda McDowell, in her 2003 study, Redundant Masculinities, picked up on this phenomenon and its negative effects. She states, in the UK, today still a predominantly white country, male manual workers are, of course, the group currently most threatened by deindustrialisation, economic change and the growing dominance of the service sector. Rates of unemployment are consistently higher for men in old manufacturing districts. Indeed, speaking to a community worker in East Belfast around 6 years ago, he was of the opinion that to be a Protestant working class male was to be at the bottom of the pile. The exclusion of young men from the so-called feminised labour market is best summed up when the community worker in question stated to me that he had young Protestant men come to him and say that they wouldn't go for a job in Tesco as a replenishment officer, as it was too high power for them and above their station. Here the language of the labour market has become a stumbling block. In the early years of the conflict, many Protestant working class communities were decimated as people fled the threat of the Provisional IRA at interfaces and often intercommunally the Loyalist paramilitaries. The group of civic guardians, such as those involved in Protestant churches and also the Boys Brigade and other uniformed organisations, was dissipating. Indeed, many of these so-called community leaders fled Protestant working class areas as the temperature rose, seemingly content to leave the emerging problems of violence and high unemployment behind. Trade unionists who would have provided reasonable voices and strong leadership qualities in Protestant neighbourhoods were often overtaken or subsumed by the emergence of more militant workers' groups, notably the Loyalist Association of Workers. Of course, there was another important process at work during the early 1970s, and that was the redevelopment of the Shankill due to the Belfast Urban Motorway project, which gave rise to the West Link. As Ron Wiener demonstrated in his seminal work, The Rape and Plunder of the Shankill, the strong sense of community which had been present in the Shankill prior to the Troubles was destroyed by fanciful city planning, which pushed working class people further out into the suburbs and thereby breaking up solid community and family networks. The Shankill, with an ageing population, has never truly recovered from this. Divorced from the violent context of what happened to the Shankill, is more or less the same as what had happened to another proud working class community, London's East End, during the 1950s. As Phil Cohen has noted, plans to modernise the pattern of East End life were a disaster and did not allow for any effective participation by a local working class community in the decision making process at any stage or level of planning. So while houses in places such as Dagenham and Greenlee were substantially better than the slums that people had inhabited, the kinship network which had sustained community morale was destroyed. Add the violence of the early 1970s to this redevelopment of an area such as the Shankill and the population movements happening across Belfast, and you can envisage a disorientated component part of British working class life, struggling to adapt to what had become a place apart. So in conclusion, I'd like to say I purposely avoided dwelling too much on the conflict in this brief and informal paper. I just wanted to demonstrate how many of the losses suffered by the Protestant working class at the start of the Troubles led to a sense of frustration owing to the disaggregating effects of social forces and political violence on their sense of Britishness. That is not to say the Protestant working class felt or feel any less British themselves, but an opportunity was lost for the Protestant working class to keep in tune with the ongoing refashioning of contemporary British identity. While the white working class of the East End have adapted to the refashioning or withdrawn into a familiar sense of British identity by moving away from the area, the Protestant working class in parts of Belfast are arguably still coming to terms with the breakdown of community and civic structures which occurred in the early 1970s. The tartans who rioted in 1972 and the flag protesters who rioted in 2013 in East Belfast share the same core issues of unemployment and a lack of a vision for the future, problems which young people across the UK face then and now. However, with a peace process that is perceived to be designed for the benefit of Republicans, and a perception of being cut adrift from the rest of the British working class, which once reflected their hopes, dreams and ambitions, it is little wonder that the Protestant working class in Northern Ireland feel marginalised and without direction. Thank you.